Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 1, and this is part 21 of our study in John the Baptist. But these are familiar verses, let's read them. John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, and then 19 and 20. "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Heavenly Father, help us as we attempt to teach and learn from your word. Lord, I preach Christ and him crucified, risen again, and very soon he's going to return. That's what I want to get across, Lord, today, that we would look to Christ, that we would see him, that if I can expound on the pearl of great price parable, Jesus is a glittering jewel, and I want to spend the rest of my life gazing at him, the various facets, the brilliance, the majesty, the beauty, the incomparable beauty of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Lord, help us to see him. In Jesus' name, amen. I spent several weeks replaying old sermons, old lessons, as background for our study here on John the Baptist. We took a look at a couple of things, and I want to review, very, very briefly review, what those old lessons were about. There's a town, or a place, or what have you, essentially on the banks of the Jordan River, or close to it. The name of the place is Gilgal. And Gilgal is a very important place. It's nowhere you'd want to be. If you're a tourist, you'd say, "Hey, let's get back on the bus and let's go see the Pool of Siloam or something, because this is boring." But Gilgal, if you've listened the last few weeks, is a place where, when the Jews came out of Egypt, they crossed over the Jordan River, and they took 12 stones from the other side of Jordan, and as they were crossing, they put 12 stones in the river, and then they went and got 12 other stones off the bottom of the river, different stones, and carried them out, and in the land of Israel, they set them up in some fashion. 12 stones in, 12 other stones out. Boring, I guess, but very significant. very significant. But let's read a little scripture, I suppose. John chapter 10, verse 37. And again, we're studying John the Baptist and his role in preaching from the Old Testament. Hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He's coming. And oh, by the way, here he is. Here he is. But later on, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 37 through 42, he said, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe me. You know, healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water, doing all this stuff. If I'm not doing the things that the Father wants done, these miracles, if these miracles are false or I'm not doing them or something, then don't have anything to do with me. I'm a false prophet. But if I do them, hey, you know, even if you don't believe the things I'm preaching, believe the miracles. So that through the miracles you'll know and believe, and the Father, hey, he's in me and I'm in him. And he expounds on that later. But it says that the Pharisees and whoever, they sought again to take him, to arrest him. But Jesus escaped out of their hand. And that leads us up to verse 40. After that exchange, it says, and he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first was baptizing. So it's important, this place, and the name is Gilgal. It's so important that when Jesus, after he finished an argument with the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whoever it was, it says that he went to this place. And it says, and there he abode. He stayed for a day or two, or however long it was. But it says that many resorted unto him. A lot of people came and said, hey, let's stick around and let's see what he will do, or maybe he's going to teach another Sermon on the Mount or something. They stayed with him. They resorted unto him. And they said, you know, John, he didn't do a single miracle. I mean, you can read in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha and some other folks, they did all these things. They raised the dead and all of that stuff. And that's flashy, I guess, but John, he didn't heal a single person. He didn't do anything. But all things that John said of this man, Jesus Christ, are true. And it says that many believed on Jesus at that place. And you say, okay, you know, argument with the Pharisees, and he went to this place, and it just so happened to be where John was baptizing. But there's a lot here. And again, Gilgal is an important place. It's very symbolic. But John's job, and we see it here, John the Baptist's job was to preach the Old Testament and say, hey, Christ is coming, and hey, why don't you follow him? And that's what happened. John's disciples, they believe what John said. John was correct in all the things he said about Jesus. And John's own disciples began to follow Jesus instead. But this word, or this name of this place, Gilgal, it means rolled away. Rolled away. Joshua. There was Moses, and after Moses died, there was Joshua. Moses' second in command, but he took over when Moses died. It says, the Lord said unto Joshua, in Joshua chapter 5, verse 9, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. We know what happened in Egypt. They were slaves, the Jews were, in Egypt. For 430 years, or however long they were down there, some of the pyramids, they were built by Jewish slave labor. But they cried unto God, and God sent a deliverer, Moses. Moses went and said, "Hey, Pharaoh, let my people go." He said, "No, I won't." And after 10 plagues, the Jews, they went free. And every one of us has seen the movie, The Ten Commandments, Moses. We've all seen that. And there's a little bit Hollywood in there. But the story is basically accurate. But the Jews were slaves. And then God sent deliverance. Yes, he sent Moses. But the people went free because of a sacrifice. Each house sacrificed a lamb, a blood sacrifice, a bloody sacrifice. Not fun to watch. But they put the blood of that lamb on the doorpost and lintel. And again, you've seen the movie. And at night when the death angel came, if the death angel saw the blood, then he passed over that house and went to try to enter into the next one. It's where we get our word Passover. But then, as they left Egypt, they were faced with the Red Sea. And God delivered them there. And then they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And then finally they got to the promised land, Israel. And when they crossed over Jordan to get into the promised land, they crossed at Gilgal. Again, if you listened the last few weeks, you heard me talk about this. But this is an important thing. God's deliverance from Egypt. The lamb that was shed and his blood saved the Jews. We understand that that's a symbol that foreshadowed Jesus Christ. And his blood was shed for us. And if we put our faith and trust in Christ, we can also, like the Jews, be passed over from death to life. And this is basic theology, theology 101, if you will. But it's significant that the town, or the name of the place, or whatever it was, Gilgal, it's significant. But you see, there's deliverance. And the reproach of Egypt can be rolled away. We can have a new life in Christ. We don't have to be sinners. We can be saints. You know, a saint is not some dead person that you see when you go to church and you got a stained glass or whatever, saint so-and-so or whatever. That has nothing to do with it. It has absolutely nothing to do with it. A saint is a Christian that's living right before God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. There was Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and Matthew, and all those guys. But later on, God called another apostle, Paul. But he says, Paul, an apostle by the will of God, and he's writing to the saints that are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. He wasn't writing to dead people. He was writing to Christians, disciples, that were trying to live right and to be faithful to the Lord, they were saints. And this is a theme for this sermon, that God takes you and sets you free. He writes your name down in his book in heaven. You're on your way to heaven. And if you were a normal person, you did all kind of things that were wrong. And I've told my testimony before, and that's fine. Maybe I'll tell it again. But I was a sinner. I did things wrong. But when I became a Christian, I pretty much stopped. And I knew the moment, or within minutes, of when I surrendered my life to Christ, that I didn't have to smoke no more dope, and I didn't have to go to no more bars. I knew it. I was set free. And God has that for you. God has that for everyone that would hear the gospel and believe. But Paul, he writes in Romans, he said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, now that we're Christians, that the grace of God may abound? God forbid, he says. Or oy vey, or whatever. No, we can't do that. We're Christians now. We can't go back into the bars and do all that stuff no more. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Again, I knew that God set me free from bars. Set me free. I knew I didn't have to go back in there. I didn't lose nothing in no bar no more. And that's been almost 40 years ago that he set me free, and I'm so glad that I don't have that lifestyle anymore. But he says, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. That's an important point. That Christ died for us so that we could live and go to heaven and what have you. But he asks us, hey, you know, I died for you. Why don't you make me Lord of your life and do what I say? And so the things that you want to go do, you give them up. Or in Paul's language, you die to your desires and lusts and ambitions and what have you. And I've preached this before, and you've heard other preachers say it before, that he needs to be Lord of your life. Now, in America, we get a president, and we make fun of him or not or whatever, depending on who's in office. But a month or two ago, however long it was, the Queen died. And they showed the procession, the long line of people, however many miles when they went from one place to another, they showed all the people lined up to pay respect to the Queen. And some, you would see some of them bowing or what have you as the Queen passed. She was the Queen. She was Lord, if you will. You do what the Queen says, and now the King. You do what the King or Queen says if you're in England, because he's the sovereign, he's the Lord. And Paul says, if you're going to live for God, then live for him and die to your old ways, die to your old sinful habits, and start living for God. He says you can walk in newness of life. And he goes on a while, but in verse 7 he says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. If, like me, you party and all that, you get saved, give your life to God, and you realize, you know, that's not how a Christian lives, and you say, well, I'm not gonna do that no more. He's Lord of my life, I'm gonna live for him, and you are dead to your old lifestyle. and so you're thus freed from sin. And in a bar, you know there's a lot of sin. There's a lot of things to do that ain't right. But if you stop going to the bars and you say, well, that was my old life. I want to walk in newness of life. I want to walk a new creation, a Christian. You can be freed from that sin. Now, I want to make a statement very quickly and move on. When he says that if you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into his death. And I didn't read all of the verses, but Paul is not talking about water baptism here. He's talking about the new birth, that God baptizes you into Christ's death and then changes you from the inside. We walk by faith and not by works. We get saved by trusting in Christ, by believing, by faith. We don't get saved by doing the works of a man dunking us in a tank. The water can't save. The water can't save. Getting baptized can't save. And Paul isn't even talking about water in this instance. He's talking about the new birth. Paul and Silas, they were in jail at one point for preaching the gospel, and God set them free. God miraculously set them free, got them out of jail. They walked out, or whatever the case. But there was an earthquake, and the earthquake opened the doors, and if they had handcuffs or shackles, the things just fell off. And the jailer came, and he says, oh, no, I'm going to lose my job, and in fact, if these guys walk out, I'm going to lose my life. They're going to kill me because I let them escape. And he says, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to pretend I'm Japanese and do hiri-kiri. I'm going to kill myself because if I don't, tomorrow morning, that's what they're going to do to me. They're going to execute me for letting those prisoners go. Didn't matter that there was a miraculous earthquake, but if the prisoners, the count ain't right, the guy loses his life. But the jailer, he knew it was a miracle that they were set free. And he came, he got his flashlight or whatever, and came in and said, hey dudes, I'm going to lose my life. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian so that even if they kill me tomorrow, I'll go to heaven. And they said, you know, don't worry about it. Nobody's leaving. We're all here. But if you want to know what to do to be saved, here's the answer Paul and Silas gave. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Oh, and everybody in your house. Everybody in your house. You see, as you come to Christ, as you quit the bars, you start living for God, people see it. People see it. And you'll begin to affect others around you. And others will begin to believe. Maybe instantly, maybe it'll take decades, but they'll say, hey, something happened to Fred. He lives right. I want that. You know, Naaman the leper, way back in the Old Testament. If you've ever been to Sunday school, they probably told you about Naaman the leper. That he dipped 7 times in the Jordan River. What? The Jordan River. That's what we're talking about. The Jordan River. How do you like that? The prophet said, hey, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And he said, I don't want to go there. I want to go to a better river back home. And who do these Jews think they are? Whatever. But finally, he said, okay, I'll do it. He believed what the prophet said. go dip, go dunk yourself 7 times. He obeyed what the man said, and he was healed. He was cleansed. His skin, whatever it looks like, that if you have leprosy, which by the way is a cured disease today, but it messes with you. But it says he dipped 7 times, and then he came up shouting, praising God. Hey, look at me, I'm clean. The water didn't heal him of leprosy. Obedience and faith healed that man of leprosy. The fact, and this is a symbol of baptism, going down in the water and coming back up. But getting wet doesn't save anybody. Getting wet doesn't deliver anybody from drugs or whatever. Faith in Christ does. Okay, I'll get off my hobby horse. But Paul wrote another chapter in the book of Romans. Chapter 8. And it says, there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, Christians. If you're living for God, there's no condemnation. If you walk after the Spirit, but not after the flesh. You know, you say, I'm a Christian, God delivered me from all of that, and I ain't been to the bar in, bars. You know, I like the taste of a margarita. Maybe I'll go get one. And you slip back into that. Well, you're not going to have a victorious Christian life, because you willingly went back and started sipping on margaritas and winking at so-and-so or whatever. If you live right, then you'll have a good life, and God will be pleased with you. And when you pray, God will answer your prayers, etc. But if you, as a Christian, you start to do wrong again, then you begin to lose. You begin to lose. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.